Alrighty, welcome to episode number 12 of the Enlighten podcast. It has been a while. We've had a bit of a break, and to be honest, I don't actually know, and I think Donna would agree, when we're going to sort of release this one. We might have a few on the back burner, but we've plenty of time to get recording, so we're going to build some episodes up and try not to talk about COVID-19 that much.
Yeah.
So, hey Donna, how are you doing today?
Hiya. I'm all right, yeah. Good bit better. I had got a week there where I was feeling a bit down, and to be honest, and it was all a bit, I don't know, it just felt like I couldn't be bothered doing anything at all. It was like really, but I think I just needed a week of feeling sorry for myself and just get myself out of it and feeling a good bit better. I don't know what happened to me. I think I just resigned myself to the fact that everything is all out of my control at the minute, and then what is the point of actually worrying about things?
You sound like me.
So I kind of, yeah, I think an episode maybe we could talk about in future is surrender. I think surrender, I just surrendered myself to the fact that there's actually nothing I can control about my situation, and maybe also trying to be a bit grateful as to what I do actually have, to be fair, compared to other people. So I've been trying to do the meditation things, and you've been doing your meditations as well. And then I've been, on the meditation, being like gratefulness meditations and all that kind of stuff, and compassion meditations. So, you know, thinking about people that maybe that are actually working really hard at the minute, that let's face it, I'm not really working very hard. You know, so just being thankful for all the things that I do have. There's, thank God, there's nobody that I know that's ill, or you know, my situation isn't as bad as other people's, and just being, you know.
You've touched on a few things there already, like surrender. So remember we talked about the book from Michael Singer ages ago about the power of surrender.
And I have a friend actually who's reading it at the minute, Nicola. Nicola's probably listening to this at the minute. She's reading that book.
So very good. But the thing is, you can read all these things. I can say all these things. I can be in a different place to you and find certain things easy for me, but you have to be ready for it. Do you know what I mean? You've went through a dip, and now you're ready to embrace the surrender, the whatever it is. You know, it's very, very easy to just tell people what to do, but until they're ready, it's just noise in your ear. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. If anything, it makes you irritable to hear other people, because I was getting really irritable at everyone. I was getting really angry and really like, I still probably do have, just that everyone was like, well, you have to do this, and why don't you do this, and you should do this, and do you know what I mean? And I was like, go away. I can't even think about anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it's whatever people tell you have to do something, you shut right off.
Yeah.
It's people,
and I think,
but I think when you can sort of passively see people doing things and getting on with stuff, then you kind of go, actually, I might quite like to do that. But they're not telling you; they're just setting an example passively. If that makes sense,
yeah.
It does help when people inspire you in the back burner.
Yeah, but I think a lot of it is distractions for people too, isn't it? A lot of it's like, oh, I need this to distract me from how I'm actually feeling. But if you just go through the crappy feeling, just sit with it and let it wash over you as a shitty, this is shit, and then you can move on, and then you can I don't know, just something happens that makes you want to try a few things. Just don't pressurize yourself into thinking you have to be doing this, you have to be doing that.
It's literally your body said deal with this, and then you're pushing it down, and then it's going to come back, deal with this, I'm telling you to deal with it, no, I'm going to push it down, and then again it comes back and back and back and back until you move through it. And again, it's easy for me to say that, but I mean, it's not like I'm some sort of stone and have never felt this as well myself. I do go through all of that. I just don't maybe vocalize it that much. Anyway, let's get on with today's information, shall we? Today we're going to talk about the authentic self. And I looked up a definition of it, so I thought it would be quite nice to read that out. If you guys are listening going, what do you mean, your authentic self? But I'm sure you can work it out. So the authentic self is your ultimate identity revealed in the space between your thoughts. It is the ground of your true being. The authentic self actually exists prior to the formation of your personality, at which stage you are just pure being. So I thought that was really nice, and it aligns with a book that I was reading. I've talked about it before on here by Osho, It talks about the fact that right from the very start, you aren't really given the chance to be your authentic self because of family, your peers, school, all important knowledge forced upon you, and you're supposed to kind of almost take it all as fact. And at first you don't know any better and you just absorb it, and maybe you become a bit of a sheep, trust everything that you're told, and maybe that's okay because it feels comfortable. But I think, and it happened for me for sure, that when you get a bit older, you start seeing new things, hearing stuff from other people, and you start questioning things, and perhaps you get a glimpse into what actually aligns with you as opposed to what you've been told. And there's a feeling inside that speaks to you. And it's another Eckhart Tolle thing. He would say it's your awakening. You're kind of listening to that inner voice more and you're becoming more wise. Is that a good sort of way to start things off?
Yeah, well, I was reading about different things people do naturally or when they're around groups of people.
Yeah.
There's a pressure to conform. So apparently there's some big experiment that someone did called the Ash Conformity Experiment. Don't know if you'd read about that, Karen.
No, I have not.
But it's a big social study that they did, and there's two different types of conforming that people do. There is the normative influence, which is basically that you conform because you want to fit in with the group. So if you have like a group of people, so I think they had like someone join a group of people and they give the group of people an opinion about something that wasn't necessarily that person's opinion, but then they asked what that person's opinion was and it was the same as everyone else's. So basically it was because they wanted to conform to what they thought everyone else thought. And then there's another group of people called informational influence. And that's basically whenever you conform to a group because you think they're right. You think that you're not as informed as the group are. So for example, I suppose you could use that in the example of society conforming to the government when they say we're doing this because all these scientists believe this is what we should do, and you're conforming because you believe that they know more than you. So yeah, I'll believe that too. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So them two strands of conforming appear obviously from a very, very early age. And it's probably something that we do throughout our lives. Just thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah. It's, you're almost scared to not conform in the majority of things, but I would have thought it would be more in school, but now you've brought up the whole government thing, well then, yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
Well, it's everywhere. It's any kind of social interaction, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
But even, you can see it even with Trump, like his idea that, you know, he wants people to conform to his ideology, even though it's not necessarily the same as everyone else's. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
But whenever I was kind of thinking of this topic, the authentic self, I was kind of thinking that I'm a different person when I'm around different people. Do you not find that, Karen?
You've said that a lot.
Before. I've always noticed it, but it is just the way that I have always been. And it is something that I have been working on to not be, but it is hard. It's funny when you're around a certain set of people, you do fall into being the person that you think that they want you to be a wee bit.
I mean, does it bother you then, like, because you're trying to change it?
It would bother me sometimes, because if it's a destructive person that I am being just to conform, then I'm not being the person that I actually want to be, then so that's why certain people maybe aren't in my life anymore, but do you know what I mean?
Yes.
But it's interesting.
Something you said to me recently, and I feel free to say I don't want to expand on that, but and I'm paraphrasing, but I wrote down roughly what you said. You feel like you change according to your circumstances, and trying to feel into a certain mood is, and your words, you said it was impossible. So
yeah,
what are you focusing on there? What's going on in your mind?
You mean like changing how I feel about a particular thing?
Yes.
I find
I know you only said it in a text, but whenever you said it's impossible for you to feel into a certain mood, it was very dramatic. I felt like you were so definite. But now having a conversation with you earlier, I don't feel like that's maybe the case anymore.
I think at the time I was just really feeling really quite depressed that time I sent you that text message, to be honest with you, Karen. Yes. And I think I was wanting to not feel like that. I was wanting to feel like I had been feeling. Do you know what I mean? I was wanting to feel like I had before. I wanted to have energy. I wanted to be creative and upbeat. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't. I was like really depressed, pissed off. And at that time, I really didn't want to be. And I thought to myself, I can't pretend to be like that person. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't pretend to be that person at that moment in time. I found it impossible to change my thoughts and perspective on things at that moment in time because I was feeling so down.
So, basically. But it's like what you said at the start. The problem there was you were trying to fight against it rather than feel it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I wasn't feeling the feels.
Yeah.
I wasn't just sitting and feeling sorry for myself for whatever amount of time that I needed to do that for.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to overcome it and it was just impossible.
Yeah.
At that time.
Well, don't thank you for sharing it. And you know, I've done a wee bit of work in this area and it's all the stoicism stuff that I'm always going on about.
Yeah.
But I think it's really good to kind of delve into it a bit. I think after reading all this kind of things, I think it's possible to remain unchanged no matter your circumstances. I do think that.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of, well, you'll have dips. I think you will have dips in mood. But I think, and on a side note, you know, you hear people say, oh, I've had a major life-changing thing happened to me and I've changed forever, but that's dramatic, that's a wee bit different. But I think, you know, you can remain unchanged, especially if you're in a good place mentally, you know, because if you think of I've said this before, if something happens in front of a person and another person, one person can react really, really badly and the other person doesn't necessarily. So
yeah,
that'll come down to kind of what's happened to you in the past and all that sort of stuff. But
you know the way you're saying about stoicism, do you think it's like stoicism is like a muscle that you can train, that's something that you can get better at over time? Because it's something I kind of noticed in myself that, you know, I was feeling quite low there, but before maybe it would have taken me a long time to get out of the rut.
Yeah.
Recently I find that, you know, within a couple of days I was able to get out of it. Mm-hmm. Do you think if you kind of...
I absolutely do. It's the same as the meditation. It's basically the reason for doing it is so that you're equipped to deal when something does happen. And that's why I think certain people will react one way as opposed to another when a major event happens. But it shows you there's potential there, you know. I think it's exciting to realize that you can react in a different way. But as I say, you have to do the inner work for a long, long, long time. To be able to
How do you think practically how people could work on that, like that muscle?
I did write some a little list of this actually. So we'll obviously just read stuff. that's the simple thing. Just because if you spend your days doing exactly the same thing that you've always done, you're not going to be, sorry to drop the word, enlightened. It's about hearing other people's opinions and going, can I work with that? You know, you just don't know until this stuff's been brought your way. Meditate on it. Think about kind of what you want and set intentions. But also I've written another little list. So draw boundaries, you know, whenever you can stay, if you can stay away from people that are not behaving in the way that you know you want to. Toxic people, that sort of thing. As you say, whenever you spend time with the wrong sort of people, you become like them, whether you want to or not. I know it's easy to, I always say stuff like set an example and everybody will just happily follow you, but that doesn't happen that way all the time, you know. There has to be a point where, do you know what, they're not changing, that's okay, they're on their journey, but I need to move away from it and surround myself with people that are
different
on my page.
I was reading about that with relationships, that there's two different I don't know where I came across this, some website. There's two different types of people that you can have relationships with. There's deposits makers, and withdrawal seekers.
Yeah.
Deposit. So yeah, have you heard of that before?
Energy vampires, heard that too.
Yeah, with withdrawal seekers, there are people that just want to constantly discourage you, give you, and you know, they've no interest in you, you know, getting accomplishments or milestones. They want to belittle you, and
yes,
just because they've not been able to do whatever they want to do, they kind of
makes sense.
And then there's people that actually do care about you and are like, and you can open up to them and be, you know, vulnerable and stuff with them. You can, because you trust them. You know, there's some people that I would tell, and you know, there's some people that's weird that I could tell anything to. Like, I could tell them my entire life story. I could tell them things that I haven't told anyone else. And then there's some people that I couldn't at all. Do you know?
Because you maybe feel that you're not going to get the right feedback off of them.
Is that what it is? Do you think that's what it is?
It's got to be fear of a reaction on the other end. Trust. If you don't trust the person, you're not going to tell them your story. No. Simple as that. But then again, you know, you can find that you'll tell almost strangers much more about you than.
I know a few people that are very good at that. I know one person who it's his job was to kind of talk to people. He was able to get, like, I don't know what it was. He was able to get everything out of you without actually saying very much.
That's the key.
Strange.
Not saying too much. It's that active listening thing, isn't it? Just be quiet and then you just naturally open up.
Yeah.
And the other person could be opening up because they don't like silence. So they're just like, you know.
Yeah, you do. You get a lot of people that are like that. They just want to fill the void.
Yeah. So do you think there's more that you would do to be more authentic? Would you like to be, is there stuff you want to work on?
I think it's just being more honest about things. Like, there's times when I wouldn't have admitted to different things, like, you know, before, and to people, and now I'm just open up a wee bit more to people about different things, about how I'm feeling, or like, I wouldn't have told everyone on a podcast I was feeling depressed a few years ago. There's no way. Yes. And knowing that everyone that I'm, like, potentially a lot of people that I know are going to be listening to it. Do you know what I mean? But I think just because, you know, I know that there's a lot of people going through the same thing at the minute, and it's not just like it's just me. It's not something to be ashamed of either. It's something that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think, you know, people know who the authentic Donna is? Like, do you think I know who the authentic Donna is?
I think, do you think you know me? I think I am pretty authentic with you, Karen. I don't think I'm...
No, you're not. Yes, you are. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't think I'm...
And I want to see more of it. I want to see that passionate kind of...
Yeah.
Creative, open, patient. That's you. That's authentic, Donna. And you like getting stuck into creative projects. You like to be... Whenever you're ready, when you've moved out of your funk, your
depressed phase. Yeah.
That's authentic, Donna. Would I have that right, do you think?
I think so.
Do you know who authentic Karen is?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it here. I do, yeah. I think you're very passionate. I remember doing the personality types that time, and I thought that you were very, what was it, you were independent or something. You're very, you think the way you think, and nobody's gonna, you have an opinion on something, nobody's gonna be able to twist it. You're very self-motivated, which I actually really admire in you.
Very
self-motivated. Yeah, you are. It's a good quality to have.
I think my dad would say that about me as well.
He
said, I'm never idle. That's what he said. That's his words.
You're never lying about in your bum. It's fair enough. That's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I do feel like I know you.
Yeah. That's good. I think I'm pretty authentic now more than ever. And I've talked about it in the past, where it's kind of probably mean that I'm going to want to spend time with different people because I've evolved. I'm still Karen. I'm still fun. I'm still happy-go-lucky. I still kind of act silly, but there's a slight difference in me. I don't want to compromise. I don't want to go with the flow just for the sake of it, just to avoid, I don't know, hurt. I want to just do my thing, but in the nicest possible, thoughtful, loving way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You just kind of...
I'm 40. I can't be bothered messing about it anymore. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's what happens, though, when you're older. You do actually naturally get to that point, don't you? Where you're not going to be...
You would like to think that, but I'm sure there's still 40-year-olds out there trying to please everybody, you know.
I was looking through some old emails last night. I thought, I don't know why I did it, but I went back like to 2008, 2006, way back to old emails of myself just to see what I was writing, the shite that I was writing to people.
Yeah.
And I did notice in myself at that time that I was, there were certain things, I can't even really describe what it was that it, but at the time I remember thinking, I only said that because somebody else had said that was how they were feeling. I was feeling that way about a situation because somebody else was feeling that way, and they completely distorted my view on a situation. I know what it was now, but I'm telling you what it is after, Karen, because you want to say it. But at the time, I was like, I didn't feel that strongly. I'm pretty sure I didn't feel that strongly about it at the time.
Yeah.
But I was writing emails and corresponding with different people about different things. And and I know that my whole experience is tainted by someone else and what they were thinking.
Yeah. That's interesting.
And it was just strange because it was so long ago. But I mean, I was still not that old, you know.
Yeah. Full-blown adult.
I was a fully blown like 26-year-old or whatever, 27 or whatever at the time. But yeah, I know it's funny. My opinion probably would be different now.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't be tainted by someone else's views on things.
It's really interesting to have that information and just go back and see what sort of evolution has happened. I think I was talking about the meditation that I was doing about self-love and going back to your childhood. Was I talking about that on here? Where you start as sending love to a baby and you send love to you as a really small child and then as an adult. And I was doing it and I had this vision of, I don't know if I talked about it on here before, of me being dressed up as a clown. Did you see my Instagram yesterday?
What were you doing on your Instagram? I haven't really been looking at it. Yeah, what
was it? No, I have this vision of me dressed up as a clown in primary school. I think it was part of sports day where all the wee young ones had to go in fancy dress, right? And I remember being so sad about this. I really, really, really didn't want to do it. And I said to my mom, have you got a photograph of that? And she did. And she sent it to me. And it's me in a clown's outfit. And I look so, like one of those sad clowns. It's just such a scared little girl.
No. Well, that's actually, you know, it's quite an interesting thing you were saying. That, 'cause something I've written down here is you should know your value and have self-compassion.
Yeah.
Because if you don't value yourself... if you don't value yourself, you'll not value your own opinions. And then if you don't value your own opinions, why would you even share them with anyone?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So if you're kind of shy, like Karen was when she was wee, she's not going to say, I was very shy when I was young.
Yeah.
I would never speak up.
Yeah. Why was that? Why were we, that identity must have been put upon us when we were in the household? That's going back to what I said at the very start, because you're a blank page at the start. You didn't know, you probably were running into everything and picking things up and didn't have a clue what you were at. But then all of a sudden you're shy and scared. So some sort of insecurities come from, I think, the parents at that point. It's me getting really...
I think it was more my school. The school I went to was not exactly... It was quite scummy. There's a lot of... There were mill bags and gyps ahoy. It wasn't exactly very... And the kids didn't really want to build you up, you know.
Yeah.
I know my nephew was doing the sports day and he was coming last, but all the kids were shouting, go David. They were like wanting to praise him, trying to get him over the line. Like, they wouldn't have done that in my school.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been, you know, all this kind of, it was just a terror. And I think if you didn't want people to notice you, it's almost like you didn't want people to... You didn't want to say anything because then people would notice you, and then people would, you know, it was easier just to be in the background a wee bit.
Yeah, but my school wasn't like that though, so I can't blame that. I don't think there was any sort of chat like that, so it has to have been some sort of parental thing. It has to have been.
I think
but
so.
I'm not blaming them, absolutely not.
It can be personality too, though. There are introverted kids and extroverted kids, and it isn't personalities. Like,
so do you think that comes from a blank slate? You're just born like that? It has to be nurture and nature as well, you know?
That would definitely be part of it, yeah, definitely be part of it. But I don't think it's the whole thing. I think sometimes it is part of your personality. There are some kids more extrovert than others.
That's a whole other podcast, isn't it? So I guess, guys, if you're listening, do you feel like you're being your authentic self? Is there stuff you're doing now that you really don't want to continue with? And what can you do today to kind of shift it up a bit? Because it's never too late to start if you feel like there is some weird shift, because I know a lot of people are feeling it now in this pause, as they call it. And, you know, it's time to kind of maybe go in a bit and do a bit of work and see what exciting things you can discover. And we would love to hear from you if you're kind of working on these things. So don't forget, you can email us at enlightenedpodcast@gmail.com. And I hope this podcast has been okay, because we've had some technical issues. Karen has had some technical issues.
Yeah.
I've spliced
I
it all
sound
together.
Good. Karen might not sound great.
We'll have to splice it all together. Well, if it's not as quality as normal, it means we've just missed a few bits along the way. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Anyway, thank you very much for listening, guys, and hope you have a great week. Bye.
Bye.